listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Audio chat is live, April 9th, 2015. It's me and Del. Del, hi. Welcome.
Welcome, Del.
Yeah, no K-Ham radio tonight.
Okay, I'm not.
He's taking a day off, which is fine. She's had a pretty long streak there.
Workload.
Well, Del, I'll ask you if you looked at the latest post on fakeologist.com, where I posted some audio of another podcast, Canada's number one morning show, was chatting a little bit about some links I sent to the person in Skype. Were you able to listen and look into that?
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, But it's interesting that it's interesting in one way, but in another way, he didn't actually publicize Fakeologist, did he? That's what I got from the post.
No, he did not. And today, 2 days ago, he was talking about another blog he was on that was talking about how our mayor, Rob Ford, was faking cancer. And he didn't give the link to that either. So I just used the great Google and I found that blog. And that blog has hardly any entries in it, which makes me wonder who's behind that one, where they were speculating that Rob Ford was faking cancer. But that was from last year before our big election mayor. But that was the only reference the great Google would give to me about Rob Ford faking cancer. It takes away the fakery story of media fakery to just one guy faking it for himself to further his own cause. When it distracts or obscures people from looking into the bigger media fakery picture.
What you mean? They sacrifice him for the illusion that it's only him.
If you type in fake cancer Rob Ford, you're not going to get my kind of speculation. You're just going to get someone speculating that Rob Ford is just trying to get reelected, and therefore he and his team are to blame and not any grander scheme. And my point is, one guy, even if he's a mayor, is not going to be able to pull off a big fakery thing for very long if the media is working against him. They're going to figure it out. They're going to interview a doctor and say, hey, They're gonna get to it eventually, but if the media is on his side or if they're creating the whole story in the first place, it's the total opposite. Then no one's gonna figure it out, and even he, the mayor, if he knows the truth, he's not gonna get through. His message won't get through. That hey, this isn't me. I don't have cancer. His message will never get out. You see?
Yeah, I understand it because. What it is that the media and him would be handed down their job, their their trip, yeah, and they'd both be on the same. So this thing of the media coming out even and saying that they're distancing themselves from him like as a throw people off of the collusion, put him in the first place at the bigger picture as you.
Yeah. Even for me, it's hard to believe in my city, which is the biggest city in Canada, that media fakery would be used for such a wimpy story. It just seems like too small a story to use media fakery, but I just can't help but think about it because of our research. It just seems like there's too many problems with the story that are not explained, which is my investigation into 9/11, unless you see it as media fakery. It's the only way that it makes sense.
I understand what you're saying there.
And I'm glad because very few people would understand my point of view. And let's say hi to Rochello. Hi, Rochello. Well, Rochelle's gone.
Up and in and out there.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably on her phone, which would probably, it's cutting in and out for her. But, yeah, it's, so I sent these links to the podcast I listen to. It's a non-fakeologist podcast, but I still enjoy it because it's got some local information that's interesting to me. And, of course, they're talking about whatever media event is on the top of the news cycle, and the German wings thing came up, and the guy, the host of the podcast is a pilot, and he was trying to relate his pilot experience to the pilot, German wings pilot script story, the fake story, lest anyone think I think it's the real story. And it's literally a script that's so full of contradictions and disinformation that nobody is going to be able to make sense of it. Pilots, anyone. That's the whole point. It's not meant to make sense, because if any expert looks into it, they'll never figure it out because it's full of contradictions, like 9/11. So they're going to walk away from it.
That's the thing as well, Ab. When you think back to the 9/11, you've got pilots, and like that's appeal to authority. I'm a pilot, so I know things about the cartoon that took place on television in 2000. And it goes the same for, you know, the architects and engineers. Authority, you know. I'm an architect. I'm here. I can...
Yeah. We need a media... The only expert that I'm going to listen to is an expert on media fakery. That guy I'll listen to. An architect is not going to be able to explain it because he doesn't understand media fakery. You put a media fakery expert on, I'm going to listen.
You see, the thing is, if you get a media guy that was high up, that worked in the media, you're not going to hear his story, you know. They won't let it out.
No, like, and of course, he won't have a job either.
Exactly. But,
that's the beauty of it. A media guy is not going to talk about it because he knows he's going to be out of a job. That's why these guys that do this podcast, which they gather sponsors from the real world to pay for their podcast there, I'm wondering how far he'll actually push it. He'll push the discussion. And he's pushing it pretty far along, more so than any other mainstream podcast. And I'm just curious how far he could possibly push it. And he's already at his limit.
Well, what it depends as well. What kind of sponsors does he have?
It's just mainstream businesses. Businesses that are of local businesses.
Local business as opposed to corporations and things. That's probably why that's probably why he hasn't been old.
He has local businesses that probably could care less about media fakery, but I'm just kidding. Yeah, he's doing the research. So if you're doing the research into these big conspiracy events, you're going to run into media fakery eventually.
Without a doubt.
It's unavoidable. You can't avoid it. There's no way to avoid it now, is there? Or you're going to run into a component of media fakery. You're going to run into Crisis Act. You're going to run into drills. You're going to run into all the different components of media fakery.
The bottom line of those things is the acts and statutes that the politicians bring in. That's their role in it.
Yeah, you're going to run into the reaction, the solution. You're going to run... going to run into all of it.
So there's a lot of cognitive dissonance as well within word, you know. It's like an a la carte menu. Pick things, switch to whatever they feel comfortable with.
Yeah, but you're going to run into it. This is why I'm hopeful that eventually he's going to listen, and if he keeps listening. Now, the Rob Ford thing in Toronto, again, I'm not getting any support because there's no one else that could care less about Toronto. And our mayor, or he's not even the mayor anymore, he's out, just a counselor again. So I'm not going to get any assistance from anybody on this one, because it's not of interest in any way.
I would never have even heard of this guy if it wasn't for yourself, you know?
No, you would not, because it's not promoted anymore.
I even keep away from the local politicians over here, you know? I really tell you what's going on up.
Yeah, and the irony is what they say and do is going to affect you more than anybody else.
I know. One thing I do know is that anybody who has any good finally trying, they get sidelined very
I can tell you right now, the biggest check I write every month is to the local government.
Oh,
That's the biggest one. And if there was a way I could take my own garbage to the dump and opt out of the garbage program, I'd do that. I'd store it myself, and I'd take it once a month or once every 2 months, you know?
You can still do this here, but you still have to pay on the way you're going in and the way you're coming out.
What I'm paying for water, I would really look in. I would look into my own well, and I would also look into my own septic system.
A lot of people over here that has well, and I know that's like the current. The fact is, people are already paying, been paid for, structure's been paid for, and it's all through taxes. Now they've privatized it as part of the charity thing. That's what all this thing, you know, it's not like the Irish people are refusing to pay for water. The Irish people are refusing to pay for water for second or third time through a privatized company. That's what all the hullabaloo is over here, you know.
Well, you guys get so much rain, can't you just put a pail out?
And
that?
It's everywhere. Water everywhere. We live on an island and we've got lakes, rivers, it's raining all the time. So it's... You know, it's just another scam, you know.
It's another tax.
Another tax
with a different
name. On top of taxes. But this might be the one, the straw that breaks the camel.
Right.
So, still waiting to see what's there. My own, I didn't register. That's the first thing. They wanted everyone has to sort of contract and comply with this thing. Send out an application form. It's like as if you're applying for a country club or something. They send you out an application to go into a contract with this entity. You know yourself. That's
all right.
There's one thing I talking about the German wings. Did you see that other story that's been out where a pilot and a co-pilot had a punch up before they took off on their plane?
No, I am not up to date on the story, and I think that's the main message I want to send out to people is all you're getting is stories. Stories on stories.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. I came across this one. I was listening to a Coast to Coast. He going on about a couple of things that happened. Coast to Coast. It's just entertainment. But the thing is that apparently a plane in India, pilot and the co-pilot asked the co-pilot to do something, write down something. It turned into an art fisticuffs. They didn't say anything about it then. Back there, Rab, you dropped off.
Yeah, there's a couple of dead zones they go through. That was one of them. Well, that's the last dead zone.
Basically, in a nutshell, the co-pilot and the pilot had a bit of a punch-up, but then the pilot decided he didn't want to, report it there and then. That would, you know... So they flew to their destination, and when they got there, he reported it in a like that. A story on top of a story. It's just reinforcing this whole thing. Way to fly, plane companies too expensive to run. All down to the Agenda 21 as well is thrown in.
All right, I'm back now.
We're in and out like a yo-yo.
Wonderful.
But
at least it reconnects on its own. That's a good thing.
I must get it sometime for the.
But you're still breaking up. Can you log in and log back out?
Would it make any difference? Actually, I will.
Well, I don't know.
I'll tell you what I do. I will log out because I want to X out altogether and rejoin in a couple of
minutes. Yeah, I got about 10 more. I can hear you. I got about 10 more minutes before I'll be at the end of my driveway.
How quick I am. Back in a minute.
All right.
Channel switched.
Hi, Del.
How you have? Hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Now I got the echo back.
Yeah, that's because I just rejoined because it's up TeamSpeak. I mean, unmute while you're talking if you want to talk.
No, I have nothing. I lost my train of thought.
I've kind of lost mine as well.
It doesn't take much.
No.
So that was my excitement of the day is hearing my conspiracy angle influence a mainstream host. That was interesting. I don't know why they don't attribute websites, because people are interested in looking up stuff themselves. When you talk about things without giving references, I find it aggravating.
Yeah. Did he even mention fakeologist or anything? You know, did he mention us?
No, no.
Passing.
And the thing is, he was on the broadcast. Maybe people would like to listen to him on the broadcast from the past. He was on my broadcast.
Which one was it?
It was way back. It was about a year or two ago. Just look up Humble Howard. Just do a fake. Do a search on my site for Humble Howard.
I would have heard it anyway. I was just
Yeah, well, I like the guy. Don't get me wrong. I like his show. It's a great show. Very good show. And it's the new model. The reason I'm interested as well is he's an old radio personality that is using the new media, and he's doing it exactly the way you should, in my opinion. His form of talk radio is the future.
Interesting to see if you get him on again.
Yeah, I could ask.
Maybe go through that whole thing, find what his experiences are.
Yeah. I could ask. As he becomes bigger, it's less likely he'd be interested as he grows his podcast.
It's always really down to that then, isn't it? The intent and motivation, you know.
Well, I don't see anything disingenuous about it at this point.
You want to be mentioning media fakery. You're growing in the media or in their arenas. I'm not saying that he's disingenuous. No, you know, cautious or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Or it's a bit cautious about.
Well, of course you have to be. It's the nature of what we do.
Yeah, well, you see, that's when he's balancing sponsorships. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's being disingenuous.
Oh, yes. It's very difficult. The only way you can be free to speak is have no sponsors.
Yeah.
That's it. That's why I have no sponsors. Never
and
will.
And never
will be able to
here.
Get them anyway.
The point is, you see, that's the threshold, the dividing line between someone who's just out there, like yourself or myself, for trying to, you know, give people a bit of an experience of our experience, and then they can go look for themselves then that's the difference between making a career out of it as a radio show in the style of the Howard Stern.
Yeah, it gives us credibility and it loses credibility all at the same time because, hey, I'm credible because I have no sponsors, but then again, I'm not credible because anybody could do this and anyone could just be a crank on the internet. It's a double-edged sword.
No, to create the amount of content you've done, not a crank.
Well.
You know, I can safely say that. It's more like a labor of love, in a
way. Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, Rochello is back.
You back, Rochello?
Yeah, I was just leaving work there. How's it going? How are you guys doing?
Rand, are you traveling, Rochella? Breaking up big time.
Oh, okay. I'm on the road. I don't want to ruin you guys.
Don't worry. I'm on the road too. My audio's not great either. Don't worry about it. That's why it's called the audio chat.
Sounded grand there, that last statement.
Right on. What are you guys up to? Just chatting away about.
Well, I'm just about in my driveway, so you're going to probably end up speaking to Del for a while. But I'm talking about, fakery in our local media, about our former mayor and how he's probably faking cancer. If he's not faking cancer, he's one of the biggest. He's weathering the chemo and the radiation unlike anyone else I've ever seen by not losing a pound of weight.
Oh yeah, is he like he's a current mayor?
Well, he was. He's out now, but he's just a counselor now. He's been knocked down a peg. But I thought most of the media events around his mayorship were fake, including all his alleged drug episodes. I thought all that was just a sideshow, distract people, the taxpayers of our city, from having their pockets picked by the biggest line items on our city budget, which is police.
Clearly a case of high-calorie therapy instead.
There's just no way to explain it. They even claim that his cancer is in his in the fat part of his belly.
What?
Even Even the story of the cancer was ridiculous.
The cancer is like a tumor that's making his belly.
Yeah, it's in the fat part of his belly.
So the secondary part was up in his double chin then, I suppose.
Exactly. it's just stupid. They almost invented a cancer just for him. That was just a part of the story that came out and went away. Like all these stories. They're just stories that they have flashes of prominence and then they get withdrawn from the digital media. You probably wouldn't even be able to find evidence of that line because of digital media. It's there and then it's not there. This is the danger of digital media. There 1 minute and it's gone the next.
Well, there's two things I can think of just there, Ab, of how that might happen. I'm sure there's more, but the two that come to mind for me is that A, they're using apprentices and trying, you know, to come up with something totally weird. I can't do that. Or more likely, and this is more likely kind of, it's like everything like that. It's always an experiment. They'll just put something out there to see how many people will believe this.
Yeah, they'll just throw some shit out and see what sticks.
Yeah, and the bits that don't stick, then they just...
They put aside for... Yeah, they put away for next time. Next time they won't use it. They won't use it next time because they know it doesn't take. Oh, it's quite the media experiment that we're living in. The more I think about the whole idea of what we do, the more I think about garbage media saying Marshall McLuhan, where he said the media is the message. I never understood what that really meant, but maybe it has something to do with what we're investigating. The media is the message. Media is it. It's it. The whole thing. The whole story. Maybe that's what he meant.
It means I'm still reflecting on one that I can put there to ponder about, you know. It's a big something like that for someone to wrap their head around or something. So I for one, probably, you know, I'd say now I don't, definitely don't. Now I had it in, you know, an overall of everything. I don't think any of us ever will, you know. It's some massive endgame and that announcement treated with complete. We'd have to see actual things happening in real life around us to support whatever those guys would be.
Yeah. Yeah, you're breaking up again. I'm having a hard time hearing you, but
I'm sorry
to step
that.
Away. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's your end or my end. Rochello, I'll let Rochello take over for a minute. I'm going to be gone for a bit. I might be back.
Okay. I'll put it this way. You're on a mobile phone, and I'm sitting at home with like 70 megabytes of backend
upload. Yeah.
What do you call it? Fiber optics.
Upload and download. Yeah.
Upload and download. Anyway, it's actually more now.
Yeah, you should have the better connection, no doubt.
I actually misquoting myself. I think it's 130 now. It is. So I don't know, man. You know, when I broadcast on my own stream, and it is something to do with the mobile phone connection, everything is silent now. Are you there, Rochello?
I am.
How was your day? What was that?
Oh my God! It was. I'm just glad it's over. That's all. Yeah, I was going to say to Ab, if he's still there, can you hear me all right, by the way?
Hear you, Grant, yeah.
Grant. Canada's like the Queen of Hoaxes or
User
something.
Disconnected.
Canada's got their footprint all over 9/11. I don't know if you've watched some of the videos and stuff, but I was thinking about, it's going to take a while, but I was thinking about going through and trying to make a video about all the like foreigners who were like interviewed. People with like foreign accents basically, and they all seem to be like French, and there's a lot of stuff about like Quebec making a movie down there, and then you have the Naudé brothers who are French. I don't know, it just seems really like connected to Canada. So you know how everybody talks about how much Canada sucks and how much they hate them and stuff, and you know, oh, Canada's so boring, you don't want to go up there, but I'm wondering if that's like some kind of ruse to like keep us out of Canada, you know.
Well, if you think about it, right, Canada is, so is America, to, you know, about it. It all leads back to England. And this whole thing as well, there's the other, yet they seem to be, between the pair of them, Canada's sewn up. French, well, Canada.
Who's breaking up here, me or you? Because I can barely hear what you're saying, but I'm mobile and you're not.
Yeah, I hope, we'll know tomorrow when ABBA posts this, if it was breaking up or not. I was breaking up and I just take this whole thing asunder and put it back together. But, no, I'm saying about England and France working together, all this. You know, two countries controlling, but your English bit. There's a lot of French accents down on 9/11.
The
Naughty Brothers.
All I heard was the French's accents. Did you catch that too? A lot of French, a lot of people with French accents, like Kwame Ledoux.
No, I didn't. You know, like, now that you've said it, I'm going to go and have a look.
Yeah, I just noticed.
I do remember a lot of foreigners.
Yeah, and Kwame, like, at first I thought that his accent was fake, kind of, you know, like he was faking an accent, and that's kind of where I was going at that angle, but then I saw there had a Quebec sign. It says Quebec, New York, like, in some of the photos. And they're actually making a movie. They said that this guy was interviewed and he said he was on the movie set and he was setting up a movie set on the bridge or something like that over in New York. And so they're making a movie to highlight their city, Quebec or something like that. That's what they said. Right. So, and then you see a lot of people with French accents. Like, what the hell?
Interesting, you know? Look forward to if you do make a video about it, I look forward to it.
Yeah, no, I'm making make on everything, you know. That's how
I'm breaking up a little bit.
Well, anyway.
But if you could send me a couple of links, what you were actually right.
Okay, yeah, I will. But you know, it's the NIST FOIA videos, and so you know they're hours long or whatnot. You just kind of, and it's really fun to sit there and watch because it really is like a movie. It's like the extra parts of the movie. It's just really bad. And so I like to watch everybody being interviewed and what they're saying and what they're talking about. And, so it's in one of those, NIST FOIA long little evidence vids, I guess they got up there on YouTube, but I'll try and find that for you though. But,
I remember another one, but it was allegedly an American guy. The whole thing just was surreal. Where he's walking down around and talking to people. I can't think of the guy's name now. Even at one stage, he goes in and he buys more film for his... It was like,
okay, yeah, yeah.
Remember that guy?
I just went to go buy film and, yeah, I remember that. But, you know, I was thinking that. I was like, okay. I try and think about the things that are the most ridiculous, you know. Like, that could, even though I don't... I still think that that has some plausible deniability, you know? Like, maybe somebody would actually go do that, but still, it's fucking retarded.
I know, but I'd be thinking, right, I'm sure it's out there anyway, right? That perimeter cut off from that mall doing the spill. I'm thinking then, do they just have people wandering around like that? Or it just seemed more like stage stuff. The kind of thing that
it's terribly staged, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So I can't even conceive of this guy just walking around with his. Oh yeah.
Oh
Let's
no!
Just see
and
what's
everybody
going
had
on.
Cameras. See, wasn't that interesting that everybody had cameras just ready to go? And I'm thinking,
yeah.
I understand it's 2001, but seriously, I don't think that. I mean, it's the morning time, so everybody's walking around with cameras ready to go. I just don't believe it. I think that some people would, but I don't think that the majority of people would. And it seemed like a lot of people, like, even if they didn't show them, like, you know, advertise them having cameras, you see people walk.
Well, I remember actually going to that guy's YouTube, guy who did that, right, channel, but it had that feel that it was set up specifically for that particular movie.
What was set up? I'm so sorry. We're breaking up terribly.
No, I'm just saying that I actually found that guy's YouTube guy that we were talking about there. The guy that was walking around that bought the film and all that.
Oh, okay.
And his YouTube channel itself just seemed there to put up that. There was a few other things there, like, but he's sort of a filmmaker.
I'm listening to you. I'm in a slave mart trying to get some TP.
Richard, there would be Walmart or something like that. You're in a shopping mall.
No, I'm not shopping. I just had to grab something on my way. If I go home after work, I will not fucking leave the house. Like, if I need to, like, go get water to put the fire out for my house, like, I'm not leaving. So I have to do everything, like, before I get home because I get so damn tired.
Up a few bits before you go home. Breaking up again, I suppose. Brooke never had this problem except when there was a force field put around the place.
What's that?
I said Captain Kirk never had this problem unless they were trying to, you know, they put a force field around.
Breaking up. Well, it's 2015 technology, you know. We got the best they got.
Oh, no, we got the best that they let us think that they've got. What's the story? The best is yet to come. Yeah, speaking of which, they're bringing in, going to be effective July or something. Every poor cat and dog in the country. I think it's funny the way they do these things because they come out with these laws and rules and end at their law. It literally is like writing a letter to Santa. They say, well, that's what we want. Have Alan Watt saying it.
A letter to Santa Claus about like writing to who?
It's like them writing these laws, you know. Every animal has to be chipped, you know, by July. Or, you know, all these blah, blah, blah things.
Wait, are they trying to pass something like that, or?
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming into effect in July or something like that. Pet dog.
Well, that's
and
so funny because that's not something that you can like really enforce. You know, they like, I like how they make these like. So we're supposed to self-police, you know, because they make these non-enforceable laws. Like up here, I thought it was so funny they passed a, and it's not a law. It's some kind of mandate that they want. But you know, you can't cut your own tree down. You can't cut a tree down on your own property without a permit. Isn't that just the dumbest thing?
It's the most ridiculous
thing. And what's the
thing.
Permit going to do? What's the so when you go and give them the $15, $20, then now you can cut the tree down. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? I could cut it down. I can cut it down right now, like without this piece of paper. Yeah. So it's really abstract, ridiculous controls that they try and push over you that people follow, though, blindly. So
they
do. Something like that, though, you inherently have to disobey, you know? And I don't even like to use that word disobey because it's not, not an authority, you know?
Exactly. You don't give them the authority. You just basically ignore them. They're writing a letter to Santa Claus and expecting you to go along with it, you know? And, you know, it's
so funny.
That was the thing, right? You know, my dog Cheech, right? He'd be nine. Be nine this year, right? In dog years, that's a lot, right? But the thing is, you know, like maybe, you know, 9 years ago, I would have bought a dog license because I was, you know, one of these upstanding citizens. And when I started finding out about all this stuff and, you know, sovereignty and everything else back, you know, in that day, last time I bought any license for anything, I remember about 3 years ago, knock on the door and like I have a little airlock as I call it. I have a sliding door, a glass sliding door, and then my main front door. And I opened up my main front door just to have a look, and there was a guy in a uniform there, and he says, "I'm a dog license inspector." And I said, "Good for you," and I just closed my door again.
That's awesome.
The funniest thing was, I'll never forget it. He walks out the driveway and he turns around, looks back, catching his head. I'm in here in the sitting room looking out the window at this stage. I'm just looking through, you know, he couldn't see me. I was the head curtains, just standing there looking out. And he looks at his head, looks bad. He had a piece of paper in his hand. He looked at it and looked back again, then walked out to the end of the. And he had one more look around and then just got into his car. That's the last I ever heard.
He didn't know what to do. I kind of have a little story like that, too. This guy, you know, we're in the dark parking lot, and I had just hurt my eye. And funny enough, I'm in this parking garage, you know, at the hospital trying to park. And I kind of just kind of back in to this guy a little bit, just like kind of tap him. And I didn't really, it wasn't any kind of accident at all, really, you know. He kind of made a big deal about it, but it was this old guy, and he's like, I'm a I'm a sheriff's officer or something like that. And I was like, it's not intimidating at all to me, sir. That's what I said to him. He's like, he just looked at me. just by him making that statement, I am a sheriff's officer or something like that. Like that, yeah. I'm supposed to be immediately intimidated. Yeah. And I just like, that's not intimidating to me at all, sir. Like that's the exact words I use. And he's just like, okay. Like, yeah, I lost that one.
They're dead right. You know, all these people, they put on the costumes, they get a certain level of brainwashing themselves, and they're already brainwashed from coming from the general public. So they really do invest a lot in what they think they are, what they perceive. And I know, like, you'd be listening to like Chris on Hoaxbusters, and I know where he's coming from too, because when you're in America, the people that have those exact attitudes that I just described, but then they're also given a gun, you know. That's, you know, at any time if someone's pointing a fucking gun at you, you know, you think quick. And, you basically, you know, do what they tell you to do and if you want to live kind of thing. And you see, that's the bottom line that these people come to that yet, Ireland. That's why I'm still working off the whole concept of these people are, they're no different from, they're all the feckin' same, except some of them think they have authority from some. Really, at the end of the day, you know, they get their authority from us. That's what that whole thing started off. Everybody working together and then, you know, giving up some of your bloody sovereignty to give it to somebody else to do something to. The whole thing is turned back around on us. There's a lot of conversation to be had about that. Like,
sorry, I broke up a little bit there.
They're all right. It is. It's basically, you know, one group of people who I call them the non-producers, because they don't, they produce reams and reams.
Who are they?
The ones that produce reams and reams of paper to impose other, you know, things on, like you getting a permit. It's kind of like you getting a permit to cut the tree. No fecker that's in the office.
Yeah, they work with their hands in a different kind of way.
Yeah, but like it'd be different if this guy comes down and helps you cut down the tree and you give him $20 and say, there you go, there's your cut for helping me cut the tree. And it's the same, same with everything else. Taxation, you've got the guys out there, your inland revenue, you know, they're going after some guy for painting. Does any of them ever fucking, you know, mix a paint or carry a bucket or give them a hand? Somebody hold the ladder while the other guy is up there painting. No, they sit in the fucking office going out extorting money from people who are actually producing. So they're the real producer, and then you've got the non-producer.
You said extortion, but it's actually just called a tax. You got to get the right wordage in there.
Yeah, but like extortion is taking something from else.
It's a tax still, Corey. Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's so funny because what they do, when they do what they do, different words are applied to that. But now if I were to do exactly what they did, that would be called extortion. Now when they do it, it's called taxes and fees. So yeah, it's totally okay, you see.
Yeah, but you see, I understand what you're saying, but like I'm using the word to describe exactly what they're doing. But they are extorting.
Right. Yeah, so, you're like, I'm just telling you how it is, man.
Yeah, you're kind of preaching to the choir. Without any authority behind their whole crazy ideas, which are backed up by the media, of course, because that's the other arm of the whole PSYOP, it's that they can get away with doing that. They can sit on their arse all day in an office, scrutinizing the people who are actually out there physically creating things. And bettering, you know, humanity by building a house or doing whatever. But they can't do that without these revenue guys saying, oh, here, you owe me this. You know, you got to pay you got to give your tribute to the fucking, to the, you know.
Yeah, isn't that weird that you got to pay for it and then you got to pay for it again? Yeah. Like, what the hell is that? Why don't you just inquire that into the price? Like, it's just so weird and deceptive. It's just so strange.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking is that people, ordinary people out there have to think about that. They're out there working jobs. You see, there's other people then that have got jobs. So their employers take money off them and give it to a third party, which is government. And it's called taxation. I call it extortion. But you see, unless these people even start turning around, because no matter what you're doing, if you're working in a restaurant and you're serving something, whatever, and you get your wages and you might get a tip if you're lucky, but those wages and the tax is back to that fucker in a suit sitting on his arse in an office. Who did he bring down a napkin, or did he down with a knife and fork that you forgot, or was he helping you? Was he there when you were actually serving the people? No, but he expects a cut of your sweat equity.
And people, it's so weird that people accept that, though, don't you think? Like, I tell people I don't file taxes, and they freak out. I mean, they're like, what? I'm like, yes, dude, like, I do not file taxes. Like, I think it's weird that, you know, 2014 is long and gone. And so now I have to sit down at a computer or whatnot, and I have to tell somebody, some abstract person, how much I made and break it all down so they can figure out what kind of cut they get off of it. Like, that's so weird that we do that. We report how much money we made to some abstract entity every single year, and people think that I'm weird for thinking that that's weird.
Yeah, and the whole concept is weird, and I totally agree with you, because the thing is that that's the other thing. It's the whole consent thing. We're back into the consent. They expect you. Not only do they not come and help you when you're doing your job, they expect you to divvy up how much you have to pay them for not helping you, which is
right. Right, they do the math on that. Like, at least let me do the math. Like, how about I get to determine how much I give you, and you know how much that's going to be. No?
The point is, you're giving it to them, and then they're giving it back to the banks, which lent it in the first place to the government, which has nothing really got to do with people out there actually doing things in reality. They set themselves up as a kind of thing. And the only life that's breathed into it is the people who, you know, under normal circumstances should be out there doing something well to create something for their fellow man, instead of trying to take something from their fellow man to keep this monstrosity of a system going.
Yeah.
We don't need it in the first place.
No,
we really
don't. But since this is a pyramid scheme, essentially, we're living inside of like giant, like Ponzi scheme within pyramid scheme within Ponzi scheme. So it's very basic, but I think that it's become so convoluted and there's so many bubbles that it seems overwhelming. But oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Rochello, it's the ultimate pyramid scheme.
The ultimate, yes.
It's the ultimate one. But you see, the reason why they have the all CNI, which has always been used for people at entry level coming into stuff, that's the first thing you're always told about. That's the first thing I found out about. And then you see it on the dollar bill and you go, oh, pretty obvious. Yeah, all CNI is controlling the whole thing at the top. I am kind of in the mind that it is the greatest pyramid scheme ever, you know, formulated on human. But the all CNI bit at the top is just like the letter to Santa, just like the camera down the street that's always watching everybody, but that never works when an actual crime takes place, a real crime.
No, it will not function.
It's, yeah, but the all CNI on the top is the same concept. It's, we're watching you. That's to make people self-police and be afraid of the whole system. And to be afraid of, or to think that these guys have, I think they want us to think that they have more power than they actually do. But they do have the power in the sense of deceiving everybody and fooling everybody. So in a way, they do have the power, but in another way, they don't have the power that they want us to think that they have the power. Know what I mean?
No, it's like a con man trying to act like he's something that he's not, and since you believe it, you pretty much give him your wallet because you think that he's in some higher authority to you, but really that's just an act that he's put on for you.
There you go. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
That's just the ultimate con man con men run the ultimate pyramid and ultimate Ponzi scheme, so pretty clever. But, you know, just like any pyramid scheme, what you need is more and more people to rape off of and to squeeze money out of. And so, you know, that's what I think about, like, immigration and all this other stuff. And, you know, just a lot of different things make sense when you think about it as part of a basic pyramid, like Ponzi scheme.
You see, The first thing also we would think of, talk about a pyramid or a pyramid, is money and finance. And of course, they have to use power and to pay everybody to do their various roles in this. See, this is like sort of a three-dimensional or four-dimensional where they actually have all the money, they print it themselves, it's all, you know, they've already in control of that. So then they're using all the psychological stuff, all the different means of using against people, which still is for each individual to turn around and say, no, I'm have enough of that, I'm not going along with that. And I know it's you know, it's easy to say, oh, well, that's only you, or that's only or maybe someone else. But, you know, it's until that, and it's, and I'm not even saying, like, revolution. It's basically ignoring their crazy situation and getting on with our lives and doing everybody that becomes aware of the situation, pitch in and, you know, do, you know, for communities and things, their own individual. But that's sort of one way of the kind of wishful thinking in one way, but, like, that people maybe then there wouldn't be as many people that would want to, you know, dress up in a costume. They can go do that in their own time. You can, people dressing up in a costume and then saying they are the costume, not the costume, like everybody else.
Well, who's in a costume?
Well, many people get into costumes, you know.
Sorry, I'm breaking up so bad. Yeah, the police.
anybody, you know, it's police. Over here, and they're trying their best, the media are trying their best, they're always saying Irish police force, it's on Garda Síochána, which guardians of, these guys take a note, protect us and protect, you know, it's the constitution and everything else. I know, like, they're all, you know, words as well, you know, but, you know, they still are at the end of the day that, you know, and they're held accountable, you know. You know, they don't pull guns out on people yet over here. Still there, Rochelle?
You said, am I there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I'm over here trying to buy some weed, you know. But I'm listening to you.
You're haggling, are you?
I'm haggling. Yeah, I am haggling.
Fair play to you.
Well, what'd you say? I'm about to swing home, too. So
yeah, I said fair play. I said fair play to you.
Oh, yeah. You going to be talking to Kay tonight?
No, there's no Kay tonight. No Kay Ham Radio, because she's been very busy at work taking for the... You're doing one next week, as far as I can see.
Oh, yeah, well, fuck it then. Forget it then.
If you're online later on when you come home...
Okay, yeah, I'll get on, and I'm sorry about this. Make sure to cut this out, Ab, okay?
Doesn't cut out anything. He gets us in here and then he fakes off, you know.
Is it because I'm black, Ab?
I think it's just, is it because you're black and because I'm Irish?
Yeah, exactly. See, yep. We understand.
He used to have signs in England up to the 1960s, you know, and in this order, by the way, no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. Or was it the other way around? No dogs, no Irish, no blacks, or no blacks, no Irish, no dogs. I think that's the way they had it.
First they don't want black people, for sure.
This was for people renting out rooms and houses.
Oh, shit.
Seriously, they had those signs were there, and, like, it wasn't, like...
Oh, yeah. So Irish are like the black people of white people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Black, you know, Irish?
Yeah, like, there were two Irish slaves was pretty much one black slave in the day when they had slaves, because, as you know,
we worked more.
No, it's not that they worked more. They were used to be the heat from coming from Africa. The Irish were feckin' coming from Ireland. But anyway, at the end of the day, it's a moot point. Irish and blacks were... as well. That's just Stuart history we were all taught.
Yeah, and, you know, when I first learned about the white slaves and stuff, I put a lot of things in perspective for me about how they just try and manipulate people's history to try and make people feel certain ways, like, you know, they try and make blacks feel inferior because of the whole slavery thing. But then when you think about white slavery and stuff, and then about how the white slaves were treated just as bad or worse, then you were like, oh, well, this is just a worldwide thing. It's not because I'm black. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's they try and make it like it's, yeah.
It was a worldwide thing, you know?
And yeah, they try and make it so personal to the black community, and we're just like, oh, we're so inferior, we're so, but it's like, no, that's a total scam. Like, why don't they teach you about, you know, all that stuff? It's because they kind of play the populations off against each other.
Of course they do. That's where the Jew thing comes in, well, in that angle, Birchback.
Right.
They owned it, all the ships and all the, you know, they were fine, you know, purveying all the, you know, infrastructure for the whole slavery thing. Then you also had the people in Africa. They were betraying their own people. It's kind of like what's going on everywhere, even now, in government. You've got the people betraying. They go into government and then they betray the rest of their people by bringing in all this crazy stuff that they do. Right? And back then, you had like leaders in tribes and whatever in Africa. And they'd be just capturing people and sending them. It wasn't white men going in and capturing blacks and bringing them back to America. Like,
how would that even work, right?
It'd be crazy, you know. They literally had black people betraying black people, selling them into slavery. Had Irish people, English people betraying Irish people. And there was a lot of English people sent over too. You know, like, it wasn't as clear cut as they like to think that the white man was going around making slaves out of everybody. It wasn't. Slavery goes back even way before that.
Oh yeah,
whole other day's conversation about that.
Yeah, but point is, when you talk about slaves and when you say slavery, people think about black people.
Yeah, because we all saw Roots, which turned out to be another fabrication.
Right, a six part movie about a fabricated person. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I remember watching that over here in Ireland at the time. I was only young at the time.
Toby?
I was in the 70s, wasn't it? 70s, late 70s.
Oh, man. I can't even. Are you sure? Because, I mean,
Arthur Haley wrote the book, I think, Roots. Then he was exposed as making a lot of it up. It was all just fake.
No, really? I never even knew that. That's pretty funny.
Seriously, if you Google Arthur Haley Roots, and if they haven't managed to take it off the internet, he was exposed as just making an awful lot of that. Like, funny, when I think back, your man who played Kunta Kinte, right, the sort of star of the show kind of thing, Geordi LaForge, Star Trek The Next Generation, another guy that had the hair clip around his eyes.
Listen.
Farce Value is in the room there, man.
Hello, Farce. My phone is going to die. So how long are you going to be on, Dell?
Hang on, if Farce is around. But sure, if not, I'll be later on if you like. Or hit me up on Skype.
Hey, yeah, I'll have to get your thing there. What time is it over there in Ireland?
It's 20 past midnight. 18 minutes past.
Damn, Dell. Damn, I just got off work. It's fucking hot. It's 4:20 over here. It's 4:20, Dell. I have to go.
You've got the whole evening ahead of you. Good luck with that. enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'll catch you again, Rochelle.
For sure. I'll hit you up on Skype. Have a good night, Bars.
Nice talking to you. Bars, are you there? I'm going to head off myself if you're a little converse. Why are you unmuting your microphone? Anyway, you are tuned. Audio chats, apologist. Go to tune in next time. Random around here, but hello later, peeps.
Hi, this is Rochello, and you're not listening to me, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.